Early Birds Catches the Worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's 15 minutes past the hour of 6, and it's the 25th of March, 2026. Now that month of March is coming to an end, and we are going to April. We are going to April soon. Then by the time you wake up, you are already in December. That is how fast time is. And we are always indicating to say, make sure that you use that opportunity. And make sure that instead of complaining, do the best that you can do. You know, everyday motivation is also understanding. One thing that we also need to understand that being an individualistic person can be a very big problem. Understand that, one of the things that we need to understand is the aspect of our irrelevant as individuals. Know that, there is this thing that we always put to ourselves. Have you ever thought that you are the only guy? Have you ever thought that whatever you say, whatever you think, is the best thing? Know that, it's always very important to understand that being an individualistic person can also be very problematic, because we are in this life to work together. And also know that if you want to go far, you must make sure that you work with people and you work with others. There is also the other thing of understanding that we are not starting at the same pace. We may be in the same journey, but we are not starting at the same pace. That's why so it's relevant to look into that aspect. There is something that my colleague, Hileni Inane posted, and it's a very powerful thing to say. Some of the most stressful years of life is from the age of 25 to 35. And you can feel that. You can feel that. You can see it. You can hear it. And, you can interact with it, especially looking at the pressure that our young people are going through, particularly post, university or post, high school, because there is a pressure, to succeed. There is a pressure to achieve something. And, that post can also goes to say that is also the time where some people are getting married. Some they bought their first home. Some, they just got settled, but others are still struggling. That is why understanding that with life, understand that things can be looking the same, but they are not the same as you look at them. So it's always very important to make sure that we run our own race. We understand our own journey. And the greatest persuasion of life is persuasion of knowledge. Then other things can also fall in places. And once the society understand that this unnecessary competition that we see every day, we end up stopping, and we have an energetic, uncompetitive, people that are not so bitter. Because when you look on social media, and just before you go to that, to our conversation, when you look on social media, you realize to say the way people present themselves is like everybody is wealthy, like everybody has everything. But get into their life and understand that people are real struggling. The statistics are not wrong. But that pressure make people to do unnecessary things, entering into environment that they could not enter. End up doing things that if they are brought to light, you will be shocked what people are doing. You will be shocked what young people are doing to impress their parents and also impress the society. But economic struggle should be a game that we work all of us together, and we advise each other. So to say, buying an iPhone of 30,000, things that you need to do in life, or you do not have any income that is coming, it's a waste decision that a young person can do. Or getting 20,000 to go to a vacation and coming back to an empty fridge is a wise decision that a young person can do. And also adults too. And understanding the way we do things, understanding the economic part of us, then we can be able to move forward. So before we go to the conversation for today, understand that the Villager newspaper is out, and we'll also be able to give you a tip of what is happening. Also be able to give you a content of the Villager newspaper. And let's go to a short commercial break, then we'll start with continental news, particularly when the pressure of oil start hitting countries. When the pressure of oil price start hitting countries, you look at Kenya, you look at, you know, Northern Africa, you look at Egypt, and you also be able also to look at countries in the eastern part of the world, and the U.S. too, that the pressure of the price of oil continue to hit people. And when you look at countries such as Philippines, you realize to say there is a declaration of energy emergency, particularly due to the impact of war. You understand that it's coming, and put on your life-saving coat and see what you can navigate through. And it's also where we also have to apply our economic scenario planning to say what will happen to our trouble if that impact of oil price reach us soon. What will happen to our trouble that we already have, and how can we survive through? And history has proven that there is no human catastrophic event that was never survived. People have survived atomic bombs, people have survived drought, people have survived the worst economic crisis, you know, COVID-19 pandemic. There were people who thought it was the end of the world, but these two shall pass. But we should not only be people that like pain, but we must also be able to avoid pain if we are strategic in terms of our economic alliance, and also in terms of the way we deal with things. So let's go to a short commercial break, then we'll look at what is happening, particularly the heat of oil price, and how countries have reacted, and also go deep in what's happening in global affairs. Everybody's speaking about war, but we must also not forget that even before war, African problems, we have been in an economic warfare for a very long time. Challenges are still here. We may be interested in what's happening in the Middle East, but African challenges continue to persist. It's poverty, inequality, corruption, unfunctioning institutions, policy incoherence, and many others that Africans are still fighting with. Even when we celebrate, even when Middle East war come to an end, African problems, if you ask somebody in Democratic Republic of Congo to say, how do you feel about the situation in the Middle East, he may not see the difference, because he has been with pain for a very long time, and does not even understand if you add more pain anymore, because these people really have suffered. There are people who have suffered psychologically, economically, socially, and all other aspects. And even if you add pain to them, they don't even know. People do not even know the difference between corruption and favor, because things become so worse. Institutions have collapsed. That is why we are saying, in guiding our Namibian peace and stability, we must look at that economic front, and make those decisions, not rash decisions, not decision to impress people, but long-term decision. And it's not only about decision to be seen in public, because an impactful decision does not need to be announced. People do not need to know that, yes, I have this very good plan. We just need to see the impact of it, because people will speak about it. The impact is what matters. And what frustrates, and what also keeping us backward as Namibians, is the aspect of celebrating early, then see the real impact. But for now, let's look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to continue with what we have.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo doto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's indicated that the oil price is hitting Africa. It's continued to hit Africa. You know, in other part of the world, the price of crude oil go beyond $100 per barrel. And looking at Kenya, you know, stated that Kenya fuel retailers are running short in supply due to the Middle East conflict. And, you know, when we start going hungry, we really start blaming those who started that war. We really start being angry. But there is nothing that we can do instead of surviving, strategizing, and also learning from that pain. To say when you go through that pain, the same pain we went through during COVID-19, the complaint that we have complained about Africa being treated last. And also know that even when the state of Hormuz open, the first priority will not be Africa. That is very clear. The first priority will be those countries that are going to develop themselves. And we are going to be there at the back of the line, especially in terms of getting those assistance. Know that COVID-19, there have been debate. There have been debate about, treatment. And Ramaphosa was very angry to say, guys, we are treated last. We are the last people to get the vaccine. But look what's happening in Kenya. To say hundreds of retailers in Kenya are running in short of supply due to the current war in the Middle East. And it is stated that about 20% of countries independent fuel dealers are affected. And that was stated by the chairman of Petroleum Outlets Association of Kenya, Martin Chomba. And in his words, he stated that we have constrained supply. And has also indicated that transport and other services, which are saving 68% of the national market. And know that Kenyan economy is connected to the continent. Even those countries that have reserves, even us that have reserves, that will host us for the next 2 months, we still need to be worried. But being worried is not the solution to that problem. The question is, what can we do? What is our game plan, particularly in terms of long term? Or is this going to be the reason why we are not going to reach 2030? And what will happen after that? So it's well stated that so far 20%, and which is indicated that some of the 3,100 retailers are affected. That is just after 3 weeks of the war. And it's already stated that if that war continue, it will be an energy crisis. On top of that, it also stated that just on the 14th of March, the Energy Petroleum Regulatory Authority, that is in Kenya, has frozen a price of for petrol products for 30 days despite the spike of oil costs globally. And it's also to indicate that one of the economic defense strategy is to make sure that you stabilize the price when things get worse, particularly from suppliers. And you also make sure that you fill that gap. But for how long? For how long you are going to be in that defense mode? Because one day you will also be able to loosen up. One day you also be able to lose due to the fact that there is nothing coming into your country. It's further indicated that global oil price jumped earlier in March as war continued and disrupted transit through the Strait of Hormuz. And that is about 20 to 30% of the oil supply. So Kenya is feeling the price. Kenya is already feeling the price of oil, and suppliers are running out. And what about other countries? And the other news is also that looking at Philippines. It is indicated that the president of Philippines has declared energy crisis, and the state of energy emergency due to the impact of war. And there is a lot of things going on, especially when transport workers and commuters are planning to hold 2-day strike, that is from tomorrow. And they are blaming the president's administration for failure to respond to the crisis. And they know that global impact can also affect the domestic crisis. People start crying to say, why you did not plan? Why are we in trouble? Imagine you have a full crisis, then workers in the transport sector, they start demonstrating. But some of these things are beyond the administration control. But not entirely beyond the administration control. If you had a chance to avoid trouble, you could have come up with measures. Because the flood is coming. And it's not a matter of saying when it's going to come. It's a matter of saying how many of your people can be able to swim. Is this also going to sweep our domestic businesses like COVID-19 did? Because if you go and do research, you realize that to say that over 50% of the domestic businesses that were operating before COVID-19, after COVID-19, some of them, they did not recover. If you want to get your own understanding of how Namibian business is working, go and look at the BIPA. Go and look at the statistics. Go and look at how many businesses were registered, how many are operating, how much are they making, and why does it matter to support the domestic economy, particularly in this point in time, because when that flood comes, most of the SMEs, they will not recover. And most of them, they will not come back. And you also start also to realize, to say, sometimes when the vendors are at the city center, I need to negotiate with them. I don't need to allow them to do what they want, but I need to find a way how they can work, because that can be the last line of defense, particularly in saving the people that are suffering so much in the continent of Africa. That is what's happening, particularly in the price of oil. To say, when it comes to the price of oil in Philippines, there is a declaration of emergency, energy emergency, and workers in the transport sector, they are planning to demonstrate. Kenya is feeling the heat. It's not only feeling the heat, it's also looking at the crisis that would happen in that sector, particularly when it comes to oil and gas. And they know that in the time of crisis, there's also an aspect of panic buying. You look at your service station, you see a guy who withdraw his saving and start feeding all his cars, or start storing some of the petrol, some of the fuel, due to the fact that you don't know how things are going to be, for how long, and when is that gap going to be felt. But there's a good news, and that good news is in the Villager newspaper, particularly when the richest man in Africa decided to say no, or his company, which is really a very good company, you know, his company decided to say, we got you Africa, and we're going to supply you with oil. And the question is, for how long, and to what extent is going to fill that gap? Because Dangote Refinery has made history, not only to be the biggest in Africa, but also has supplied oil and oil product beyond the continent, even to the market of USA. And most of this oil is coming from Nigeria. And it's already transporting and sending oil around African countries. It's not for free, but it's acting as a buffer, particularly when there is panic in terms of the price of oil, because stopping 20% of global oil, although that is not the only main source, it means a lot, particularly to the countries that entirely depend on foreign supply and forget about, domestic, utilization. So that is what is happening, especially in the continent. And also when you look at Kenya. And coming from International Monetary Fund, International Financial Institution, is planning a visit to Mozambique, especially looking at debts, pressure. No, IMF is planning to visit Mozambique, and the team also looking at the pressure of debt, particularly what a country is going through. And it is indicated that Mozambique is set to host an International Monetary Fund mission, especially to manage growing financial pressure. And you realize to say, sometimes you also start understanding to say, it's only that parents, they don't like us to look in the storage. That time in Mahangu storage, they will call you for assistance, especially when it's full. But when things start getting in the mid of the year or by the end of the year, they will not allow you to look in the storage. There is that aspect of saying children should not look in the storage, because they will panic when there is no funds. And you also realize to say, sometimes we are crying on, and you also start understanding on developmental budget, then you realize to say things are very hard. And people don't speak about these things to say things are very hard. Our budget will be able to tell us, our national budget will be able to tell us that we are defending. And when we are speaking about we are defending, we must do something. And that's something that we must do is domestic utilization. Because if we are already defending, and when we are defending, we are not really looking at the growth. We are looking at surviving. And the numbers are telling you. And I think we have, I don't want to say we have the best minister of finance so far, but we have, you know, a different version of a minister so far. But we must also be guaranteed to say, yes, we want development, but our economy is not growing. And don't be surprised. And I don't want it to happen, especially when it comes to our domestic economic expansion, to say maybe it's going to reach its predicted, you know, numbers. But there's a high chance that it will only be able to maintain where it is. But the question is that what can you do? What can you do differently? When we are speaking about budget, you know, debts per GDP, look at Mozambique. Say, countries are going through a lot, and a lot is going through those countries. It was stated that, you know, the International Monetary Fund will review Mozambique economic situation and also its policy direction, and also looking at possibilities of other new supports. And looking at Mozambique, it stated that the financial system is going through pressure, and borrowing cost in Mozambique has climbed sharply, and also investors are also concerned about the country's debt management. And this news, this and sometimes we really realize to say sometimes it's better to stay in Namibia compared to other countries, because Mozambique is not an unfortunate country, but you look at natural disasters, you look at flood, you look at terrorism, you look at civil unrest. If you look at Mozambique, it's not even history. Look at from 2023 until now. It's trouble after another trouble. And either it's domestic, either it's also external pressure. You really realize to say, yeah, the government of Tate, Daniel Chapo, really need to up their game. And I was discussing with my supervisor at the France at one point to say, you know, it's not really a matter of thinking that you must be colonized by who, or you were supposed to be colonized by. So I said, no, being colonized by Portugal and France, you know, so it's one of the dangerous things, because even when they are gone, that impact is still very painful. Although no one should be allowed to colonize another person. But when you really look at those countries, you look at their system, you look at, you know, the governance system, you really realize to say sometimes, that is worse, and it's very difficult for those, you know, countries to recover. And, there is also aspect of hidden debt scandal in Mozambique that also damage, you know, trust, especially with international institution. You know, one of the things that Africans, we are sabotaging our own development is also the things of cooking numbers. We cook numbers and we don't report truthfully. Because what is happening, for example, in Senegal is that international institutions are, and also investors are also scared to say, you guys are not telling us the truth, because the current administration in Senegal realized to say, no, when the previous administration was in power, it was not telling the public the truth. It did not reveal that there is hidden debts of over over 10 billion US dollars. That's why that this is a very big gap. That's why IMF and also other institutions, plus international investors, are also scared to say, how should I invest in you if your numbers are not numbering, if you are cooking numbers, if you have hidden debts that you are not revealing, what shows that you are going to bring back my money? And that also really damaging trust and things that happen in Namibia. That's why we are saying sometimes one person can sabotage the whole country, especially this thing of trusting somebody with real money and end up messing up the whole institution. That scandal itself will also be in the eyes and ears of investors, either domestic investor or external investors. Ask yourself a question. Why there is a concept that we have been talking about, to say why credit to domestic business is subdued. That is a statement that BON has indicated in its monetary statement. Why credit to the domestic business is subdued? Why you have commercial institutions which are making money in Namibia? It's their own right, are making money. And to the point of making over 5 million in average per day in Namibia. Per day in a year at average. And they are not giving money to domestic businesses to operate. Was there any trend of domestic operators not behaving properly to that extent? That's why if you look at Mozambique, they're also going through pressure. And even these things that they are going through is not what the current administration did. It's what the previous administration also did. Because the hidden debt scandal of 2026 stated to have damaged trust with international lenders and expected revenues from major gas project to yet fully materialize. To say sometimes the deals behind closed doors will not affect the country in the next 5 years. The deals that are happening now, if they are not made correctly, will be able to affect our country. Not now, but in 10 years. And even that somebody is not even having influence anymore, or that person is not even around anymore. But the deals that are happening now, if they are not long-term, we find ourselves in the situation of Mozambique, and also in the situation of Senegal. You may want the money, you may want assistance, but people are looking at your numbers, people are looking at your books to say your things are not balancing. You have this population, you have this budget, you have this outcome, you have this assistance. Where are the numbers? Where are the numbers? And why should I trust you? And trust matters, especially in terms of long term. And that is what Mozambique is going through. And you really realize to say sometimes, looking at Namibia, there are also things that we can be happy about. But we should not celebrate, suffering, to say we can really do more, especially on that economic front. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue with the conversation. However, you can still engage us in the studio, 083-288-401-083-288-401. The question that we should ask ourselves is that in terms of the flood of the price of oil, which is coming inevitably, which is guaranteed, what is our long-term survival plan? And also, what can we do, particularly, not only to survive, but also to look at long term? Because if we are not asking ourselves this question, understand that next month we are still gonna receive, majority of young people coming into the market. Very hungry, ambitious, educated, and they want to participate in Namibian economy. Thousand of them. Yes, they will come. But if we are not planning very well, we'll find it more difficult than how it has been, especially in managing that crisis. That is why we must always plan ahead to say, what can we do to those young people who are coming into the market, especially in terms of job creation? What can we do? How often do you support the private sector to expand and also to have that capacity? Because as you are speaking now, the public sector is bloated. You find really that it's bloated, and it has been the number one employer of Namibians, and we are still want to get into the public sector, but it's bloated already. And you must also be able to realize, to say, who is building institutions? The build of institution is private sector, but how capacitated it is. And when you speak about private sector in Namibia, let us not take things out of context. When you look at the private sector in Namibia, start with informal economy. Then you can also start upgrading. And how many of them are real Namibian-owned private sector and are real contributing directly to the changes of lives? Then you will be able to understand what we are discussing about. You know, one of the things which is going on not only on social media, but it's also on everyday discussion now, is the rejection of Starlink. To say, maybe I also realize to say, no, these things sometimes, it's not about how big you are. It's also about the integrity and also the benefit that you are bringing to the Namibian people. Because the question that you should always ask is to say, what is the law saying? And the other two is also, the other second thing is also that, how is this going to benefit the Namibians? How is it going to benefit Namibians? And had we applied that law that we have applied to Starlink now, and I'm very happy that we have experienced, and also people who can think ahead to say, it's not only about the service, it's also about me and you. Had we applied that to many other international institutions, I mean international cooperation, to say, this is what you need to do, this is how you should assist with Namibian development, this is the area of ownership that you should look into, we would be very far. You would be really very far, because some international institutions, they might be big, but they have unfair advantage over domestic operation. They have unfair advantage, and we are not at 50-50% win, as it has always been stated, particularly looking at what they do. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue the conversation. Remember, the Villager newspaper is out, and we'll also be able to look into that content of today. And know that when it comes to everyday life, the external world will definitely impact the domestic market. But the question is how you react, not only as a government, and also as an individual. Also as an individual, you know, because if the crisis of oil is coming, although not now, we must learn how did we survive COVID-19, apart from getting aid? How did we survive COVID-19, which really slapped everybody, shut down institutions, and also brought panic? Nobody will forget in the history of Namibia the voice of Dr. Karumbi Shangura every day on, you know, national briefing of the cases and also what need to be done. And that could also happen, although different crises, especially with oil and gas. But what can we do in order not only to avoid, but also to continue to say, yes, you guys are fighting, but we have this supplier that we are dealing with. We also realize to say we have this domestic investment that we are utilizing, And we have this very strong and supported domestic businesses that, you know, we are supporting so that we can survive and keep not only financial security, but stability. And, you know, dry days will teach us also wisdom to say for you to survive, you need yourself and your people. Dry days will really teach us wisdom and also allow us, you know, to think about our resources that we have, to say, hey, do you utilize our resources very well? We couldn't be here. Have we negotiated, you know, differently? We wouldn't be here waiting and praying for Trump to end the war, or praying for Netanyahu to end the war, or praying for Netanyahu to apologize to Ayatollahs and many others, or praying for Iran to stop. We wouldn't be here. We would be very happy. And it will really teach us to say in the next 20 years, where are we going to be?
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatuime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Nora Hetatu, Natu, Bali, O Hetatu, Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now.
Esira shisho, pagyo tadi kukwathere opomoro kara uwasira ya kweni o chisho. Watu chithana basic mental health first aid course. Haiga njua o shari chamhongi kwa mboka ili iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na kene una okutongorora o madidiriko ugo petameko ugena cha nupiakadhi nenge o mafidakano opama viraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge aniironga kuanga pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo nyene una okuya kwathera nokuya pa eabidhidho yiri monjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere ounji na nyene unokara uishagitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na epango na maradura thano odhina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Wish to broadcast on a national level? Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And what is happening is also looking at the continent of Africa. Stated that Ghana and European Union have signed a first formal defense partnership, especially when it comes to growing of violence in the Western African continent. Particularly growing threat of jihadists, to indicate to you that when it comes to Nigeria may be one of economic powerhouse in terms of human capital and also resources, but one of the things that they are struggling with is the jihadist, to say terrorism in Nigeria is not only creeping the economy, but it's also disrupting operation, especially in the northern side of Nigeria. Look at the Niger State. You realize to say these terrorist militia, they have power and capacity to attack even military bases. When it comes to police station, it's even nothing. But one of the moves that Ghana has made is to sign a defense partnership with EU, especially looking at the threat that the country is also facing. It was stated that signed in Accra by EU foreign policy chief, that is Kaya Kallas, and the vice president of Ghana, Yane Nana Opoku, has indicated the aim to strengthen alliance in terms of counter-terrorism, intelligence sharing, and the crisis response. Know that it's coming to Interpol. Interpol report jihadist. And also this militia are not only in Africa, not only in the Middle East, but they are everywhere. At some point they have also been in Mozambique, here in SADC, and they are growing every day. But the only thing that need to be done is EU to pull up its socks and also fight its battle that is not only facing the future of Africa, or going to disrupt Africa continent, a free trade area, but it's also going to, you know, to disrupt the future of Africa. It is stated that the agreement on a broader base has the value of 50 million euro, that is around 54 million US dollars support package, which has been, you know, delivered since 2023, which also look at advanced communication system bots to also patrolling and also broadening military intelligence and also support and you know, African security is also a concern. So, you're concerned looking at that aspect, because know that if I have to take you 5 years ago, realize that most of the coup that happened in the Sahel region was also with agenda of security, to say you are not putting more effort in fighting against terrorism. And most of these guys who took over governments, either in Mali, either in Burkina Faso, most of these guys who took over, the Ibrahim Traore and the men before him, most of these things happened because of security. They realized to say your strategy in fighting terrorism is not working. That's why if you go to the history of Ibrahim Traore, they say, no, he was a good captain who was good at fighting on the battleground and understand what's happening, especially when it comes to fighting terrorism. But what happened when he get into power? Why are people not speaking about him anymore? Because he's still fighting terrorism. He's still fighting the jihadist. He's still looking at security. And security disrupt, if the security is not handled very well, it disrupts the economy of the country. That's why it's always very important to invest in the country security, but in the real country security, that not only defending, but protecting, the country. And remember, some of these, there are a lot of strategies that this terrorism are using. Some of these, they can come with different formulas, either through business. They can come, they can fund a certain initiative. That's why people must also be careful. We love NGOs, but we are also desperate as Namibians to get support from anybody from outside to support our cause. But sometimes we don't know who is behind that financing. When somebody is saying, I'm supporting your cause, you don't know. You may end up funding terrorism. Then you may also end up bringing for us. And don't bring for us. We have already a lot of problems that we are going through. Good morning.
Yes, Shambe.
Yes, how are you?
Good yourself, ma'am.
I'm well. How are things going?
It's fine. I think these days we are just playing politics in our government. We are now. Look, you know these things of apparently 3,000 cows sold to Mauritius or something? Talk around this song of the Dinomonia. the issue of the very added now, added, which you guys are always preaching.
You're saying these are things I'm also speaking about, to say, are we really doing what we are saying?
We are preaching, we are exporting job.
No, you just exported the whole industry.
Yes.
No. You must not give up on speaking and also giving idea, because if you give them, you know what people do to us, né? They give us final product, then we give them everything. If you give them cows, they will not come back anymore. And it's also not advisable, really.
My friend, the problem, the people knew this is what they are preaching every time. Value addition, we are few to be poor, wow, all those.
But maybe they are also not listening to, they are not listening to the president, because I think the intention is good.
Look, it has nothing to do with the president. When you have a sovereign threshold, where is the intelligence of the country?
And somebody also argued to say our intelligence must be also economic intelligent, because we are no more in that aspect of those threats for a long time ago. We must transform to say other countries are using economic intelligence, to say the intelligence must be able to assist us to get to economic opportunities and also to protect the country's economy. You understand? Don't No, don't bring for us because you know one thing also, somebody has also the general principle was to say, when you look at other countries, that was supposed to be an independent institutions to protect everybody. It was not to be supposed to be political. Politics have their own thing, but national security was supposed to stand at the center of everything. Do you understand what I mean?
That one, you know, that is the ideal. But you know, the tricky part. For instance, now Americans has been there for 300, maybe 200 years or something.
Yeah, almost 300. Yeah.
So that's why the people who first, you know, lay foundation to that, they are no longer there. That's why you see the intelligence, state intelligence, FBI and something, it's so independent. But for us, the tricky part is the guys, the people who lay foundation to the independence now, Namibia, they are the same people. Ne? They have to protect each other. That's the problem with why.
But when you politicize it, what will happen? Yeah, in the future, that somebody who came is not in favor of that ideology.
That's why I said that for them, it's just one people. Even if you go to justice system, judicial system, they are the same people. What? When you go to defense, police, it's the same. It's just comrades. Ne? There will be a time now, maybe when those. Those people are no longer there. Maybe things will go the right way. That's why you, maybe the future generation will have.
But maybe those in security understand. Maybe we also have economic intelligence to realize that. Let us just look at the economy.
It's not supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
You know when we negotiate, we negotiate on the sovereignty of the state to say, look, when you make this decision, it's a treason. You committed a communist treason against the state. How can you do that?
Yeah.
You committed an economic treason against the state. It's a
straightforward. But I think we are getting there in the area of understanding the state operation, and also realizing that there are institutions that can stay there forever, and there are people that can come and go. I think we are getting there, and we are taking time. But in terms of economic intelligence, there I really support you to say that was supposed to be the focus.
That's why as we are speaking right here now. We could have already arrested or asked the Minister of Agriculture to step down. Simple mathematics.
And the other thing, what I also look at is also that our main threat now is not a physical threat that we see. Is that aspect of losing out on economic part, and also cyber. People don't speak about this thing, but what you have said, particularly in terms of those economic decisions, to say, how can you sell something at that form?
Because up to now, you still have not only that to Mauritius, but we still have all of the animals that have been exported live to South Africa. That's still happening. But we are saying, we are all here.
Adding value
in our economy. Look, my friend, ask me. That without the sovereign threshold, because that's only, you know, a deciding factor. When you say you cannot do this, this one cannot be done. When you say adding value, you mean we can no longer export. We can no longer export industries. So what are you going to do? You have to put mechanisms. You can have total those cows there immediately.
Just so, hold on. Hold on 1 second there, hold on.
Great news. Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
That's why I said that. If we are saying words, where we don't understand the true meaning of this word, what are we going to do?
Maybe we just put vocabularies there, or maybe we don't also ask to say what do we mean when we are saying value addition, particularly to people who make those decisions.
Yeah, because we just were mentioning this word, but we don't need it, you know.
It's not a
local, flavored, you know. Concept. Value addition is not, it's a true English word. You understand?
Yeah. But I think we also have an aspect of, just having a tradition of, doing, things. You know what happened yesterday in Parliament? Professor Job asked, why is the bill being read for the second time? You know, people were just, they clap hands and the secretary just read the bill for the second time, but there was no. I did not, and I also realized that a lot of people maybe did not even understand why is that. It means that we are progressing to the next level. Maybe we just have a culture of doing things and we don't ask questions.
The thing is, sir, is education, because our education is more theory than.
We don't even know to say if my national developmental priority is saying value addition, and I'm saying things at
You know, when you study theory, you study to pass, and you are going to use that thing. It's not a practical thing. You mentioning it, but you never diverge. What does it mean in terms of practicality? We have to put it in practice now. That's why I said, look, as we are speaking, the value addition has been a rhetoric. You know, campaigning tool or words everywhere. Even in the Minister of Trade, they have always said that. But you can even see that, my friend, the man, they are a man.
You're also right, because the best thing that we need to do, we just need to do what we say we had already done. Because if we do what we say almost everything good that we want. Then you completely do a different thing. The same thing with something which made me angry is when people come, for example, we speak more on informal economy, formalizing informal economy. But after that meeting, even the food that people are eating are not coming from that informal economy. What we are wearing is not even coming from domestic market, even to present just to show us. But we are speaking about who is going to do those things.
Look, you are correct. The president said, I know corruption is a treason. It's just a word. But when you say, president, what do you really mean? What is the practicality of it? Zero. Nothing. There's not even policy. You just make a statement, you go. Some of us, we were looking forward to see, look, there is a policy about it. There's a law about it. It's a concept that you need even to be taught in the university now.
Even the investment in fighting, because let me the argument is here to say yes, corruption is a bad thing, is treason. But what is the investment in fighting treason? Because treason is it's the highest crime that a person can commit in a country. But how can you invest a little in what is so dangerous? It is the same with also agriculture, to say we are looking at food security. But when you look at the budget in agriculture, you also ask your question to say why the trend is going down. I think you just a matter of doing what we are saying.
Because everything is there.
Yeah.
but that's why I said, here, it's a problem to say, our state intelligence, where are they? Because they could have already picked up that deal to say, look, what you are discussing, you are compromising the sovereignty of the state, because how can you expose that? What was so difficult is that that meat can be, taken, slightly mama meat, come here, then you export the meat.
Because do you know that you are selling 20 cows, for example, you are taking us back to 5 years. Because what will happen to that is that there is already a gap being created.
Now, just imagine, I saw those.
But you know, there is always a way to learn. There are good things which are happening. I see that there is always a time to learn. There are good things also which are happening.
You did not, from the cow, what are you taking from the cow? Number one is the meat. Number two is the skin. The skin can be used for what?
And also what it produce also, it can also be producing,
The horns, you still have used it. Even the bones, my friend, we export the whole job that of how many people now?
20,000.
We are here crying.
Very well, Dishan. No, I think the point that you made, especially on in terms of economic security, that thing must really be emphasized, to say those who protect us when we are sleeping must also protect the economic part, not only the physical threats. Yeah, they must protect that, because they see far before us.
You know what worries me? You know, for instance, Katima Murido, how many? They have maybe two times breaking, the breathing was bent. But I was asking myself, if the police could not do this, where's the state intelligence? Because you remember, state intelligence, you understand what is it?
If
the police cannot do their work or meditate here, the thing which is can... on top of it, it's intelligence.
But the police have also crime intelligence. I think they are coordinating. That is just...
But I'm telling you, what is higher there is state intelligence, because it's the one that is above all. Because they have to come up with those stingy operations. That way. No, they have to dig. Because intelligence knows first before everybody knows.
No, they see the future. They see the future.
Sometimes they are the ones who are thinking of the police. Sometimes they are the ones who are thinking of the police, the defense. They are even thinking of the person who say, look, this one is bigger in the country. The police must go there.
But even in terms of the impact of oil, they are the one who are supposed to know how it will affect us also.
Yes.
They are the ones who can also advise to say, in terms of oil, this is what...
Because intelligence is the last defense most of the world.
Even also getting into a deal with a person. The other countries, they are doing it to us. Maybe we're also doing it to them. Getting into a deal with a person. They were supposed to know, to say, no, this guy is a con artist, or this guy is a real deal, or they did this to other country, they are operating in this country, but this is how they do business. But you will find some time to get into agreement with somebody who has not a good record in other countries.
When you see a lot of people, they are intelligence, like most of the ED, the former permanent secretary and director, they are intelligence.
I don't know. Okay. Let's come back.
They know themselves also.
Okay.
But the problem is, their intelligence is not to protect the state. It's just to say, just to block people who are not in the cycle. You understand? Just to block people who are not in the cycle.
But it's
to block the people who are not in the cycle. That's why we say that they just there to see Kucha, who is not our party member, who is not a comrade here, who is bringing who is belong to which party. But it's not a sovereign thing. It's an individual activity.
And that is not even lawful to politicize. You know, even politicizing of public sector. That's why you see. I think we have also developed. That's why you see when you go and people want to go and campaign, they realize to say no. If you have a strategic thing, don't enter into that, or you should resign. Another thing, I think politicizing can also be very dangerous to a country, especially where you have killed all the alternative ideas.
Because there's something
that the former president have stated, Tate Pamba, very brilliant thing to say, guys, we see what's happening in parliament, but also listen to other people what they are saying. When you look at yesterday's debate, I was impressed, by the debate of who is this guy? Mulunga and others. When you look at the level of research to say, I still want to see their counter argument to that debate, because you realize to say you bring a lot of young people in parliament, then you see the relevance of a debate to say go and fight. And I want to see it coming from both sides to see who is going to bring that counter argument to the debate that is comparing and is giving data. Not only to say we are doing it for the good of everybody, but how? You see what I mean?
That's why I say that. Yeah. That is the level of engagement that you need, because you don't just talk for the sake of
and we must really be impressed to say things are improving.
Yeah, you have to go there and do research and present your research. You see, because it's not a matter of just going there, you just read the newspaper. From there, you start talking.
You go
to parliament, you make a small piece of paper, that yellow thing.
And I think everybody is waking up also. It's the same with what happened in South Africa when EFF coming in to say, yes, the debate is on, to say they brought a lot of think tanks, a lot of educated guys. But people started also listening to say, no, I think we must go this way. Whether we have to find a way, we must go this way. And I want to see that petroleum bill going to be passed with amendments, or how it's going to end. I want to see the end of it to say, is it going to be passed as it comes, or with the other amendment, or is going back? I just want to see the conclusion of that. And that is my interest also to learn.
You know, the comment of the former president is good. But when he was a president, when he was in politics, he was not doing it.
You can also not do the same.
Good that he realized. It's good that he realized when he's outside. Because I would recall, now he realizes it's good. He's appealing to his people to say, look, at least let's do this. That is the way forward. That is the way forward. I'm really, very disappointed to say, look, we need to reform that state intelligence.
I know.
It must have all the corners. If there could be an institution that can receive most of the funds in this country, the budget. Just the state intelligence, because it's there to protect what? The state.
And I think things are also changed to say things that they transform. Also, I see when you look at what they do with not CIA, what it is, they say there's national intelligence. When you look at KGB, what they do is they realize to say, no, this thing of old Soviet Union have collapsed, the things have collapsed. Now let us look at economic sector. Let us look at how we protect. That's why they survive so long, because they have very strong economic intelligence. They realize to say they all have changed. It's not about who is going to shoot who is going to disrupt who. It's also about what deal can collapse the whole country. Look at, we were not able to foresee what happened in Fish Road. Until to the point of even signing an international agreement. You understand what I mean?
But when you see now what happened with the Fish Road and the Marine Act, can't you see that it's the same what they are pushing in the oil bid or something?
No, there is a debate on that to say, why are you doing? I was reading and seeing what is happening.
It's the same. It's the same because the problem with the Black Child is to say, when there's a law, and it does not affect your interest. At the moment when it affects your interest, what do you do? the law to be changed. Look at it, even what is happening.
Just hold on.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do. With Express Credit's Easy Payday Loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Ventuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 13th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
Your bank would never send fake SMS alerts. If it's not from 140295 or 29411 or 29462, it could be a scam. If you suspect fraud, call 061-299-1200. Bank Windhoek. A member of Capricorn Group.
Yeah, five minutes. Then we can also give opportunity. Yeah,
that's why I say the thing is, you know, the intelligence. When I said in a holistic, both economic, political, whatever you engineering, both intelligence matters. Everything they know first before everybody knows. They have to go there in the market. You know, in the global market, and they see what is going on. That's what, did you know that there is a gap in terms of knowledge, in terms of, you know, technology? Why? Because, if you see from economic point of view and how many theories of economics that were developed to advance the development agenda of the developed world, there are a lot, you know. You start from the deregulation there, you come to the three-party economy, you come to the multinational company, you come to property. Both, there are a lot of theories. But wait, to depend, where are we?
We did not evolve.
We were not evolved. That's why even in the academic now, we are not starting from there to teach our kids to say, look, this is how, this is the stage, this country used to come up with. How can now we try to put our local flavors now to so that we can fight back, so that we can sustain where you are? Because we have to sustain it. We have to what? To move with the storm. And I want to tell you something about it.
I think we really have to change, especially when it comes to just being a follower. Because when we are following, you realize to say you just become it's not a junk. What how do they call it when you become just a receiver of everything which is already used? There's a word in economy that they are used to say after it's failed in Europe, it must go to Africa.
It's not like that. Go read the book, Escape from Fire, something. Because those guys do experiment in Africa first. They are first experimented in the third world before they are being used in that country. They conduct experiments first in Africa, in the third world. You see? So that's why when it comes to politics and how this modern governance came about, our people are not taught to say, look, they don't even know how did America came to existence. The superpower that you are talking about.
And answer the question, why every continent there is a study on Africa, but there is no study on those countries. They study us even before they come here. Yeah.
Because they need to understand that there was a war of invasion in Tamakumbu. Then the issue of slavery. No, that's when you teach politics and modern governance, my friend, you must come from there so that you understand to say, look, what the American is currently doing, it has been already done by the Spanish, you know what? And the Portuguese in Southern America.
Why are they doing what they are doing now? Then you understand. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing that you have seen today. It was done already because when they invite you, they do what? They take the land. They take the natural resources. They force, they do forced labor.
One political economist made an analysis to say, let us look at the conflict in the world and the relationship with the resources. And you really start to realize to say, if you are poor, unorganized, nobody really interested in you. Just have resources and chaos can also come to you. Then you become ungovernable. You look at countries without resources. And look in Africa. I think, was it you? Somebody spoke about a certain country in Africa. Then that country has a leader for a very long time, but it does not really have strategic resources. You realize to say, they will never even say, no, you have stayed for long because you have been there. You don't have resources. But do it in a country with resources. 10 years in power. They say, no, you are a dictator. No. But you saw, there are countries that a person can be there even for 40 years and say, no, they are good friends. They don't even care. Yeah, yeah.
Netanyahu has been in power for how many years?
I think since the 1990, I think he has been around there.
Also on the 20 or something. If it was in the other country.
No. We come out. You are a dictator. You are oppressing people.
You see?
Yeah.
Because I even have learned, even in Kenya.
Yeah.
It was only a one-party state.
So,
all along. Mm. But when Kenyatta starting to realize how things work, now they say, the Mati system must come in, then they brought in the Mati system. So that they start pushing Kenyatta out of the top. That is the only way. Otherwise they could have bring in the rebels against the government.
No, speaking with good intention to say, you have a country like Rwanda, for example, where Kagame has been around since 1993 and 94 there. And he still win with 99%. And somebody said Rwanda does not really have strategic resources, especially compared to other countries. Then you realize to say, the world is very quiet about it, and it's their country. I don't have a problem with them. But when it happens to a country with the resources, just even you are there for 2 years, they say, no, come out. Don't. Are you running for the second term?
But the story of Rwanda is something interesting. Because they are taking resources away from, they've been used as a proxy by the Americans in those Western.
Now they are not the friends anymore. Have you seen what happened now?
You know why?
Yeah.
Because the Americans have secured now.
Yeah.
They secured the mineral rights.
Directly.
They no longer need to go through, Rwanda to get the resources.
Are you also watching that now M23 is going under a lot of fire now? I don't think they...
Yeah, because as I said, there is no one in this world is going to survive the empire.
But I think Tatesh Tshisekedi is a very good negotiator also, because you see where power is. He's a very good negotiator, because he was really at the point of exiting that, because he was under pressure.
Because the government in DRC then now was not supporting America.
I think he negotiated well.
Yeah, you can see now they use Rwanda as a proxy, like that. Now when they divorce each other, it's like that now. You are going to see now the economy of Rwanda, if they are not also very smart, at the time they are going to collapse. It's going to work. Let's make this with the major thing, just 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, it's that level now, everyone understood.
And can see,
Because that, those countries in the Middle East, they thought when they have American military base, they are safe. It's proven otherwise now. Do you think Americans, America never war, fought war in their own land? You understand?
Yeah, they're very smart, yeah.
So, do you think American cares when the Iran are shooting, you know, even that car, nice about the tower in the Middle East? No.
It's Burj Khalifa.
Because, man, there is one element people don't know, that the great empire, they always want you to start to collapse your economy and start over at a certain point of time. When they see you are doing good, and they are seeing that in the Middle East right now.
Because the reconstruction will also require fundings and the loans.
My friend, that is a start over. That's a start over. You are starting over.
Because when this war ends, ask yourself a question also to say, where is Dubai going to borrow money to rebuild?
They have to go borrow money from the World Bank, and that is where the reason why the World Bank was created.
And IMF
will, the economy that has been shattered by the war.
IMF will come and do the evaluation also. How they can assist them.
Now, yeah. They will be indebted to the World Bank and to the American financially, you know.
Okay, thank
that's
you.
That's why, yeah, people don't understand that. So, look, we need to be very, very, very careful to say, look, Americans, they don't care whether that, you know, they or not, the war is not in their country.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever losses is there, it's not in America, it's between those, but whoever at the end of the day, they are still going to borrow to kneel to what? To the Americans. And the Americans, what they are doing, they just want to enter the market, which was monopolized by Amazon, especially by the New Zealand country.
So this is also an opportunity to boost the economy in the future.
Boost. You need to want to know if dragons and what are you can see the war. The war is just a like enabler. The war is about economy.
It's an economic enabler.
Yeah, it's economic enabler. That's why our people say that now we are in the second war, we have to fight the economic war. Let's sit and talk. How we are going to the economy look like now that we are fighting. That's why we are not winning. People, they think war is what? War is enabler. When you get, but that's why I just think people in the Middle East country, especially in the United Arab Emirates country, because the economy, which they have built over 10 years now, or 40, try to build that economy, that infrastructure, the way it is right now, like that. It has to be a victim of war.
But I think they were also sleeping in terms of building their defense structure, because somebody said, you guys, you depend much on somebody from outside to save you. You were on your yacht while Iran is investing in security because he knew the flood was coming. I think it's also a good understanding to say investing in security must also be a real issue, because you don't know what will happen to you when somebody wants to push a certain agenda.
You know, if there is anything the Americans have been good all the years, just to prevent the war in their country. That's the only smart ideas, that, because they are not going to start off. Because when you are during the war, the destruction of infrastructure is not necessarily sometimes on the government, sometimes just even, you know, private.
And I'm also saying that after the end of this war, I don't know how long it's going to take, I think there will be a very bigger gap between the first world, China, US, Russia, they will maintain their standard. But the southern part will also have a very bigger gap. And the dependency will be more than how it is now, if you are not waking up. Because with them, whether the economy of the US is going down, it's still going to rebound after they create that gap.
That's why if there could be a clever politician there, is to prevent the war in your country. That's the only thing that you can do.
Okay.
Because after you beat everything that you can beat, just imagine now China, the way it is now. Any, you know, country infrastructure, then the war comes back there. Things will start from there.
And they are very smart, because they trend very carefully, because they don't want disruption anyway, anyhow.
Yeah, there is no smart leader that will allow the war to be in their country. No. No, because they are going to start off.
Okay.
But Americans, they don't care.
Okay, let's
that's why, if one thing has to happen, and you see even one missile or something hitting in America, you can see the American, they are going to say, no, stop there.
Stop there. Okay. Let's continue the conversation.
During the Vietnam War, when they see their kids are dying, they say, my dear, let our children come back.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sharp. Yeah, that is a conversation. And listening from Lazarus, it's always very important to look at the global economy and learn from others also. Because when we understand what he stated, it's complex politics at a global front. It may look far, but it can also be operational now. It may look far, but it's also operational now to say, when others are advancing in terms of their thinking, people are investing in future studies. They are studying possibilities. They are still ahead. To say our investment now, if we must have a greater investment now, is invest in domestic, but also invest in the future. When you speak about cybersecurity, I still want to see, as it has happened in Zambia, it has happened in I think South Africa too. I still want to see a real cyber criminal, not these guys who take our money from your wallet and all these things. A real cyber guy being caught in Namibia, who disrupt system, who steal data. You can't just hack our national airport company, or you can't just hack our health system and you just go. I still want to see that. Until we come to that point of saying we are so advanced in cyber crime, we are vulnerable, there is nothing that we can do. Because somebody steal your data, somebody steal your wealth, and you become so weak that they start controlling everything that you do. They know what you need, what you eat. They know what you are sick of. They can propose a certain medication to you. You see a lot of business thriving in Namibia. You don't know what happened before. People steal our data because we invest less in terms of cyber security. We invest less in terms of economic security. And he spoke very well about intelligence. I'm not an expert in intelligence affair. But one thing I know exactly is that the world have transformed so much that the enemy now is not the old enemy of, political ideology and too deep to pinpoint who is ideologically different. But the enemy now is those disruptors of the economic progression of the country. One is cyber. The other thing is terrorism financing. People do not know. You come and get an NGO or somebody continue funding you. And also think in the future to realize to say, entering into a deal with David Shombe, how has he been operating? How has he been operating in other country? What is his history operating in DRC? What is his history in doing business in Libya? Allowing him to enter the mining industry. What happened beforehand? What shows that he's not going to do it when we get into this agreement? Once you come understanding that, having that information is more easier for you to protect yourself from future mistakes. And it's a very good thing that that Lazarus has indicated, especially with infrastructure. The case study of Dubai must really teach us a lot, even at a personal level. To say, when somebody is saying, I'm here for you, what does it really mean? And it teaches you a lot also of saying, because there is a narrative to say, Israel is complaining so much about Iran bombing civilian and all these things. And one asks yourself a question to say, who started that fight? The conversation can continue, but let us look at the Villager newspaper, especially for today, and also understand what is in the Villager newspaper. On top of the page of the Villager newspaper, it's our son of the soil, that is Aliko Dangote, who realize that coming at home or investing in the country, I mean the continent, is a great thing to say, regardless of the global pressure of oil and gas supply. Dangote Refinery has indicated that, you know, it's supplying, or it has already showed a record of supplying oil in African countries such as Ghana, Congo, Cameroon, and Tanzania. And it's also indicated an intention of stabilizing oil in Nigeria. That is also teaching us a lot regarding Africa continental free trade area and also supporting at home. When you support Aliko Dangote, it's the same way we support our local businesses, to say, in the time of need, somebody will come and assist you. It's local. And there is also, you can get that from top of the Villager newspaper, and until page 2. You can also look at, page 3 of the Villager newspaper, where you have, Beratrix, Beratrix SME Finance, and also look at, what you can do, especially startup. If you are into financing, you'll be able to get, green finance, especially in that aspect. And the other thing, that you should also look at is that when you look at page 4, you can see there's an article by Nomeno Varihangala that is looking at Navahab, mine that is supplying gold to Bank of Namibia for gold reserves. Realize that one of the better strategies of stabilizing your economy and strengthening your currency, not to depend on somebody, but also pegging your currency to gold, and the bank intention of investing in gold reserve is being realized. And get to the content of that from the Villager newspaper, especially from page 4, and also look at the future approach of Bank of Namibia, which is a great investment. If you invest in gold, whatever happens, you lose the money, can lose value, but the higher the amount of gold that you have, then it can also protect your economy. And look at the current situation. If you look at international trade statistics, you'll be able to realize that gold price is still increasing, because countries have understood that with this global trade warfare, these tariffs here and there, this global realliance, you find yourself with a country losing values. But if you still have gold, then you can still be able to survive, because pegging and it's an old financial way of protecting your economy. So looking at Lois Eshimi, it's an article by Lois Eshimi, page 5, that is looking at producer-only meat, butternuts and cucumber demands in April. Look at Namibia Agronomic Board communique, and also look at how much the country is, how much of products are being produced in the country, and also you also be able to see the gap of how you should enter, because there is always an economic intelligence being given by Namibia Agronomic Board, and we must really see in terms of crops how much is being produced in the country, what happened the previous month, and what is needed. And when Emiri Abraham is always presenting, these are things that we must always be able to listen to, especially our farmers. Especially on that ground, to say, what do we have? How should we enter that market? And also to say, is also our government supporting those who are filling that gap? Because the moment you understand that and fill that gap, then it's going to be a game changer, because we prioritize what is ours. Page 6, Valuetia University, apply to Davichai University, get your honors degree in education, primary and secondary education, get your bachelor's of social work, and let's fight that the mental health battle professionally, especially when you have qualified social workers. Go to Valvicia University. You want to be a lawyer. You want to be an advocate, legal counselor. You want to be a judge. People must dream of becoming judges. We must really have impressive judge who interpreted the law correctly and inspiring people. You know, when you compare our judicial system, I'm not saying we don't have inspiring people. I'm not saying that. When you compare our judicial system, look at South Africa, look at the US, look at Ghana, you realize to say there's a good impression, even a young child want to become a judge, want to become a magistrate, not only because of the legal jargon, because of the behavior, and also the impact that the judge is able to do. And people must be interested, but you can only do that when you study law. And Vavicha University is offering that. Go to page 6 and see what you can be able to do. And the conversation, especially when Crane say no to Starling for compliance shortfall. There's an article by HD to say the company of the richest men in the world. It's our brother from just across the river, South Africa. He was born there, Elon Musk. But Starlink did not comply. What is the content of that compliance? What did it miss? What is concern of Crane? You can expand that. What is the Regulation Communication Act saying? And how come Starlink is not complying with Namibian laws? And what could be the impact if it was given that opportunity to operate in Namibia? And get that content from page 7. And look at the success stories in the areas of farming, particularly local pig bakery owner. You know, you really see people who create jobs, and also people who can have a story to tell. Get that content, particularly regarding the success story of Kanduka, the success story of a local farmer and the bakery owner who invested in agriculture, especially pig farming, and is really doing well. And also really, you look at the support of Basecamp, Basecamp Incubation Center, especially in supporting of local business people. When you look at that content, you'll be able also to realize that, you know, Turipohamba Kanduka is one of the great success stories in farming. Look at who they support, and when you are speaking about supporting of domestic businesses, if somebody have to be supported first, it should be this guy. Not only him, but it should be domestic, businesses. And it cannot be correct in Namibia where we supply, most of pork meat from outside the country. It's not correct if you still have institutions that are not either is schools, either is universities, either is prison, that are not prioritizing Namibian farmers first. That should be where we are starting, because read that story at page 7, especially success story in pig farming, and also owning a bakery and the supply chain. This is an opinionated paper. It's an opinionated article from Promise to Practice, Rethinking Namibia Job Conversation. And this is not only anybody, but it's RC. Resident coordinator of United Nations to Namibia. That is Miss Hoplong Pororo. It's an opinionated article at page 9 at the Villager newspaper. the representative of United Nations, especially in that aspect of Namibia, and get that content and see how the future is looking like, particularly from promise to practice, rethinking Namibian job conversation, how we enter that hard conversation on creation of job. And nobody should miss the Villager newspaper for today, for Wednesday, and for Friday, and the next Monday too. Because when you get to that content, then it's going to be easier for you to navigate through. So this will bring us to the end of our conversation, but we should always look at that aspect to say, when people are fighting each other, when people are making a global economic decision on war, what are you doing for your country? Why are you not supporting? How do you feel when you are not supporting a local business? Why? How do you feel when somebody, when a mother who 20 children depend on her, is going back with her stock that was supposed to be supported, and the same amount of money that you can use to support somebody that you do not even know? And really, it's not really to say, let us not support international institutions and companies, but negotiating with a domestic business is an insult to the Namibian economy, because we are not able to afford negotiation anymore. You can only pay full amount. You can only respect that person. And growth at home strategy should not only be the thing of we want to support domestic businesses. We must see it in what you are wearing. We must see it in what you eat. We must see it in who you are engaging with and where you are investing to. A lot of people were so panicking when Dubai is going down, because when you speak about people safe haven, some people end up taking money outside the country. Now they are so concerned. But I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the Big Mic to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe. Bye-bye for now. See you around.